Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental.
The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
All told by real people.
And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
An hour here on KMBZ coming up. About 15 minutes from right now, Al Petrelli, the musical director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, is going to join us. He has been with them for a very long time. It's always an interesting interview for us to do because it's the 25th year this year for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So we'll get to that coming up. But first, it is time for Dumb Debates, which we put in Quentin's hands today because Weir is off still celebrating his birthday. What is the dumb debate today?
You shouldn't put cold things on hot food. So, okay. For example, putting sour cream on a burrito or putting cheese on some sort of soup, stuff like that.
Okay. Where are you on this one?
I think that is a dumb opinion because I think it's a bad opinion to have because you're just missing out on all sorts of fun stuff to add to your food. I like the crunch of lettuce in my burrito. Well, I'm not warming up my lettuce.
Wow, I didn't think about that one. You put lettuce in your burrito, yeah. Not on top? It's not a topping?
It's like, inside the tortilla.
Isn't it going to get... Ew, that's a bad... Your lettuce is going to get soggy, number one.
I mean,
it's not going to stay crisp because it's in with the hot stuff.
I got a big pie hole, so there's not enough time for that burrito, for that lettuce to get...
I struggle. I'm not with you on that one. Do we normally put lettuce in burritos? Is that a normal inclusion in burritos? It's not like an enchiladas for that very reason. It's going to get, you want the lettuce on the outside with the sour cream and the pico and the guac.
Not on the inside. All of it goes inside the tortilla. It's one.
It's all going to the same place.
It's one unit.
Another example that came up was cold lettuce or tomato on a hot burger.
That's a great example.
It's the same idea. The hot burger is going to wilt your lettuce. But if you put the tomato in between, I don't like tomato on a burger because I think it gets very juicy in a way I don't like. But at least the tomato could protect the lettuce from the burger.
I think, once again, we're falling in the same issue where I think I eat my burger.
You don't think about it as much as I do.
Yeah, I think I eat it fast enough before the lettuce gets all wilty.
Okay. Another example that came up, and this is one that I am on the side of, is adding cold creamer to hot coffee. I do this every morning.
In fact, I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah. I put my creamer in the cup first and then just add the coffee, and I make really strong coffee. And part of it is I want it to cool down the coffee.
That's one of the reasons I use creamer.
Yes.
Is otherwise I'm going to get like throat cancer from burning my throat every day.
Yeah. I will do the fancy schmancy thing of, because I have a little frother. I have the little electric little frother. That works better if your creamer is hot. And so I put and there's some science behind this that I don't really know, but sometimes if I want to get fancy about it, I put the creamer into a cup and put it in the microwave for way longer than I should. Like scalding, burn your face off hot, and then do the little frother. And there's something about it being hot that makes it froth better. And then I pour the coffee into a different cup, and then I pour the cup of creamer onto the top because I want it to float. I want that frothiness to be on top. There's also science behind, you can take regular unsweetened creamer, and if you froth it, it'll make it sweet because there's something about frothing it that breaks down the proteins and releases sugar. And
I,
so
I wonder if warming it up makes it, because like a hot air is less dense.
Yes.
Than cold air.
Yes.
So I wonder if warming it up makes it less dense and it makes it easier to froth up.
Wow. We are just, we're so science. We're that. Okay. Yeah. There's probably, I don't do that very often, but I do like it better that way. Somebody said ice cream on hot pie.
Delicious.
We do that. I think we like it to get a little melty. I think we like it when the ice cream get like drips little, off the side of the pie a little
a nice
bit.
Nice cobbler? Are you kidding me?
Or an apple pie?
Awesome.
Well, yeah. And we, what's otherwise, you could do whipped cream, which is still cold, but not as cold. There's not a hot thing. You want that balance. You want piping hot pie and really cold ice cream. Where doesn't this work? I think in a burrito, it doesn't work. I think that's the wrong way to go. When it affects texture, then I don't, when it makes that thing too soggy, then I'm not into it. There's a lot of science behind if you're doing stir fry, then doing things that are at the right temperature and adding it to your stir fry. You don't want to bring down the temperature of what's in your pan. So you got to think about that when you're adding your veggies.
Yeah, that's what like a lot like soups and stuff too. Mm-hmm. It'll just, you got to be careful when you add things, mm-hmm. especially if you have something big like a potato.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's gonna immediately cool down whatever you're cooking.
Yeah, the only like real red lines about it are cold ingredients into hot oil. Putting that in too quickly because it's gonna splatter all over the place. You're gonna learn that the hard way. And raw meat on cooked food. Don't do that. That's bad.
Just you making that as a rule, you're limiting your possibilities for delicious food.
But you're saving your health, which is how we
whatever,
do.
You know.
All right. We're going to wrap this segment here a little bit earlier than we might because we want to talk to Al Petrelli. He is the musical director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. They've got two shows coming up this Saturday at the T-Mobile Center. We'll get to that just straight ahead.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Such powerful music. This is the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, and you can hear it yet again coming up at T-Mobile Center. They are going to do two shows on December 6th. There's an afternoon show and then an evening show, and we are pleased to have on the line with us, it's one of our favorite interviews to do every year, Al Petrelli is one of the original musicians, the musical director for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra. So happy that you made the time for us.
How are you, my friend? It's good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours as well. Okay. I think Trans-Siberian Orchestra, you know, we've had it around here for a bit, and so people are familiar with the title. What's the brand? What does Trans-Siberian Orchestra tell you?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. I don't know. Communal celebration, a family event. We've been touring for 26 years. We've been coming through Kansas City for 24 of those years. Some of the people that have seen us in 2001 brought their children. Now they're bringing their grandchildren. I affectionately refer to them as our repeat offenders. You know, they come back. They can't get enough of it. My job is to make sure that every year it's just different enough and more spectacular than previous years.
And we'll get into, because I always think that challenge is fascinating on how to make it different year after year, because there are some people that go absolutely every year, and that's totally understandable. For those who are not familiar with some of your backstory and how you became involved in the transition that you made, tell us how you made your entry into Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Well, the gentleman who created this whole thing, Paul O'Neill, I had met Paul in 1985, kicking around the streets of New York City, cutting my teeth as a guitar player. And we met and we did a few things together. And he goes, you know, one of these days we're going to work together. I was like, fantastic. I love that. You know, normally a gratuitous conversation amongst musicians, but
sure.
You know, Paul was exceptional in every way. So it held true. So my career started doing really, really well. And it was February 1995, almost 31 years ago, that he called me. He goes, listen, I'm working on this track and I could really use your help. And he knew that I'd been doing a lot of film soundtracks and a lot of TV commercials. I was Alice Cooper's musical director, and I've been doing a lot of sessions. So I was kind of well-versed in all aspects of guitar playing and piano playing and musicality. So I said, anyway, I went into the studio, and he put the faders up, and I looked at him. I was like, really, dude, a Christmas song? You know, and he laughed. And he goes, well, it's not really a Christmas song. It's a soundtrack depicting events that took place on Christmas Eve during the war in Sarajevo. Not the normal conversation you have before somebody hits the record button.
Right.
So I said, real quick, explain. He goes, well, during the war, this classical cellist used to go down to the town square and play works by the great composers in protest to the bombing raids. And the hair on my arm stood up. I said, well, I was with Alice in Yugoslavia, or what was Yugoslavia at the time, in Zagreb and Belgrade. I was in that town square. Hit record. And that's the opening. It's almost like Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence, where I started playing this guitar ostinato, and he goes, that's it, and the bombers are coming in, and we were having fun scoring a film that didn't exist.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, we fist-bumped and high-fived at the end, and he bought me a cheeseburger, and that was the end of it.
Uh-huh.
Then he called me up a couple days later. He's like, you want to work on some more stuff? I'm like, absolutely. So we started working together. Now, you fast forward to November, late November, that same year, 95, number one requested song in America overnight. You know you got a hit on your hands when talk radio is playing the song in its entirety.
Absolutely, yes.
No joke, right?
Yeah.
And we had, so he's like, I'm going to write a whole record around this one song. Will you be my musical director and my partner in crime? I'm like, absolutely. Now, I didn't know that you and I'd be having this conversation 30-something years later.
Uh-huh.
It's like watching a child born, you know, and now it's in its 30s, and people still fall in love with it, and it's still doing great, and I'm just so proud of what this has become and still becoming.
Al, how did it go from scoring a movie that didn't exist to this live production that is so dramatic and so powerful that gets done year after year? How did you know you had a really big thing on your hands?
I didn't know we had a really big thing on our hands. I just knew that I was grateful to continue working. Paul saw the big vision. So we recorded a bunch of records between 95 and 99, and we were selling millions and millions of copies. I mean, I felt like I was in the Steely Dan of Christmas. So I've never played a live show, and here we are. Who's buying these records? When we did our first show in 99 at the Tower Theater in Philadelphia is when I first got the idea we might be onto something, because I don't know if I told you the story in the past. When the curtain came up, right in front of me was a pair of grandparents, you know, grandma and grandpa with those crocheted reindeer sweaters. It was, like, fantastic. But sitting next to them was a guy wearing a Slayer hoodie.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, this can go one or two ways really quick. So, and they all loved it. So people from all walks, all, you know, ages, everybody loved Paul's music, his story, and the presentation. Now, mind you, we only had one truck and a fog machine back in 99.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said, I'm going to put everything back into the show every year. And here we are, where am I, 25 years later, 24 years later, whatever the math is, and we have 21 tractor trailers, 12 buses, 60 or 70 people on the crew, and all the fog machines in the world.
You know? So whatever
it
you want.
Grown up, It's just been a constant trajectory, and I'm fascinated that every time I walk on the stage and I look out, the arena's sold out, and people are just singing along or crying or smiling, whatever they're doing. They love the story. They love the celebration with us.
All right, so tell us about the Ghosts of Eve, the Best of TSO and More again, T-Mobile Center on December 6th.
Well, so that was a film we did, oh, God, back in 98. And again, very Paul O'Neill. I had no idea what was going on. He just said, you trust me, Mike, with everything I am, let's go. We're going to make a movie. Fantastic. Little did I know that the following year it would be like the number one requested film at PBS or at the Hallmark Channel. And this became everybody's new holiday tradition. Like when I was a kid, It's a Wonderful Life or whatever, you know. And it's a collection of everybody's favorite songs from the first two Christmas records. So what we decided to do this year is bring it to life, but, you know, with technology 25, 26 years later. And what our department heads and crew chiefs were able to do visually is absolutely breathtaking. And we changed it up musically enough to keep everybody on their heels. Like I said, the repeat offenders, if you think you know what you're going to come see again, you're dead wrong. I promise you. We've been talking about this tour since the second week of January. And we got it to the point where it's like it's just different enough to surprise everybody. Yet it has the familiar portion, everybody's favorite songs, and of course, Paul's story.
And this year we'll have a tribute to Beethoven's Last Night as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the 25th anniversary of the release of that record. You know, 25 years went by in 5 minutes. I can't believe it. But for the first time ever on a winter tour, we're going to tip our hat to that great work by Paul O'Neill, paying tribute to the great composer.
Talking to Al Petrelli, musical director for Trans-Siberian Orchestra, which is making a return this weekend. Somebody just texted the show, Alan, said they are going for the first time and they can't wait this weekend. No pressure, but somebody going for the first time. Is it more pressure for somebody who's never to perform for somebody who's never been or somebody who's been multiple times?
I think it's both sides of that fence. I mean, for somebody who's never been there, they have zero idea what to expect. So, you know, my job is to make sure that they walk out of there going, oh, my God, that was insane. You know, that's a big responsibility. And you know, the other responsibility is for the people who come to see us 20, 30 times. You know, I want them to walk out of there and go, oh, my God, you know, I didn't think they were going to do that. Or it was so different. It was so much better than last year. You know, it's like a Super Bowl team. Whoever wins the Super Bowl, you got the ring, you got the trophy. Congratulations. And, you know, no guarantee next year you're going to do it again.
Touchy subject around here.
You got to earn that, you know. Listen, we're going through this in Kansas City right now. I'm the biggest Chiefs fan ever, and I'm looking at these guys saying, guys, come on.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, we feel it. Yes, we're definitely feeling that same thing as well. How important, and has it become increasingly important, that visual component? Because you're in T-Mobile Center. You're in, you know, mm-hmm. you're in these big arenas that have these big rock concerts.
Mm-hmm. Paul O'Neill and I grew up just outside of New York City on Long Island. And anytime a concert would come through, they'd come to Madison Square Garden. And you're talking about Pink Floyd, you're talking about Rush, ELP, The Who, AC/DC. Whenever they would come through New York City, they'd put on even a bit bigger of a show because that's where all the record companies were back then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Paul got used to. It's like, okay, that's the big rock show. Pink Floyd, Build a Wall. Okay, I can do better than that. You know, and it's such a visual part, or the visual part, I should say, is such a big part of the live rock experience, of the live concert experience. It's like, you know, when I was a kid and it, black and white became color on TV, you know?
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, different dynamic. Maybe I'm not really aware why it's so much more dramatic, but it certainly was, you know. And then, you know, remember 3D when you had those paper sunglasses on in the movie theater?
Yes.
You know, a different, you know, level of technology. So I think that if it's only based on technology, I think you're going to be disappointed, you know?
Right. It,
technology is an enhancement to, again, the music, the story, the poetry, and the visuals so important. And we want people in that arena to say, I've never seen anything like this in my life. That's key. And that's paramount to us.
Oh, gosh, that's such a great statement to make. Has it remained a good challenge? Over the years, Does it ever get difficult to try to keep changing it up?
Every year, it's a constant argument. We start our production conversations around the second week of January, and it's just back and forth arguing until we all agree on something, and then we know we got a good idea.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a process, and it's a long process. But at the end of it, you know, it's like training for a fight. You know, my boxing coach would tell me all the time, you know, title boxing over, you know, in your neighborhood over there. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And say, train hard, fight easy. So all year long, it's like, okay, let's just go through this because when it's time to do production rehearsals, we know that we work really, really hard to put on the best show possible.
Al, do you ever, do you ever change anything midway through the season, midway through, or is it set at the beginning?
Nah, we don't. I mean, on occasion, like, we have the uh-oh or the rut-row moments.
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, on occasion, if somebody's sick or something goes sideways, we do have, you know, plan B and plan C. But 99% of the time, that doesn't ever happen, you know. Production is so intertwined with the music, and the music is so intertwined with the production that it's not going to be one of those just kind of wing-it shows. But musically, I always have a couple moments in the show where I could do whatever I want, you know, because I'm a little bougie brat.
You've got a big role there, so I guess you get to do that. That's awesome. We can't wait to have you here. We're so excited that you put us on your list every year. Al Petrelli, musical director for Trans-Siberian Orchestra at T-Mobile Center, two shows on December 6th. You can get your tickets at trans-siberian.com. Al, have a great Christmas. Thank you again for making the time.
Always a pleasure. And have the best holidays. All my best to you and your family.
You too. Thanks so much. Again, Al Petrelli, okay. You can get those tickets online. We'll take a break. We'll be back here in a few minutes on KMBZ.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday. Because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes of, a Crime House Original.
Crimes of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Unintentionally, we're doing a little bit of a nostalgia for times past theme today, and this goes right along with that. There was a poll done of 3,000 adults ages 45 and up asking, what are the lost jobs that you miss the most? Here's why this came up. Every year, the U.S. Labor Department updates its list of professions that have officially vanished, those that are too small to even count in the nation's monthly jobs report. If you can imagine, back in time, that would have included shoemakers, screen printers, blacksmiths, pick that kind of thing. But now that technology has such a big role in our lives, obviously this list is a little bit different. And so there's a resume company that asked, what jobs do you actually miss? And again, this is 45 and up. We're asked about this, and it paints a nostalgic picture of the roles that once gave everyday life quirks. We'll go through this list a little bit. Quentin, I'm curious to know if you are familiar with these jobs, ever interacted with any of these jobs. And if you have ever done any of these jobs, 913-586-7798. Do we actually miss them? Or is it just like, oh yeah, we used to have that once. That's okay. Number one is definitely, I definitely thought about before I saw the list, and this is number one in Kansas, is gas station attendant. There used to be a time where you didn't pump your own gas, where you pulled up and a nice gentleman, usually a gentleman, came up and said, what kind of gas would you like? And they would pump that gas for you. And then they would clean your windshield and they would clean the back window and they would do all this nice stuff for you. Maybe check your fluids even while you were sitting there waiting. We do not have that anymore. A couple of states, is it Oregon and New Jersey that still have it? It might just be one or the other, but it used to be just Oregon and New Jersey that had state law in place that said you could not pump your own gas. You had to have a gas station attendant to do it. And it was just for jobs. And I don't know if that's still law there. Yes, sir.
All right, I have bad experience with gas station attendant.
Really?
Yeah.
How is that possible? Okay.
I was going up to Maryville, and my mom was taking me. I think this was before I started up there, so we were dropping some stuff off and then coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And we stopped at a gas station in Maryville. I think the gas station is closed now. It's the Shell that's up there.
Okay.
And my mom pulled up and started filling up gas and. And this guy ran out from the little shop and was like, hold on.
Mm-hmm.
And then he started flirting with my mom, which made me very uncomfortable.
Oh, what kind of, I wish I had the video of that. What kind of flirting is a gas station attendant?
Oh, a pretty lady doing? Like you shouldn't pump her own gas.
Okay.
Cringe.
Wow. Very, very cringe. Yeah. So it's a weird experience when you're not used to someone coming up and handling that for you. And then when you are in a place where they do, oddly, the last time I was in a place where they pump, it's more of a thing overseas. It seems like they still have that job a lot. But when I was in Croatia, I spent a couple of days in Bosnia. It's right there. You can go in, you can go to Mostar, you can go to Sarajevo, and you can see, remnants of the war and that kind of thing. And I did that for a couple of days and I had a rental car. It's so weird because you're not sure. I assume anymore that there are gas station attendants in most other parts of the world. And so you pull up and you wait for the guy. Well, what if the guy doesn't come out right away? Am I supposed to do this myself? Should I get out of my car or not? How are we paying for this? Do I have to go in? Sometimes you have to go in to pay for it. Sometimes they bring out the little card reader for you to pay for it there. It's a very, you just kind of don't know what you're supposed to do. And they look at you like you're crazy because you're supposed to know that they're just going to handle all of this for you and you do nothing. But it's kind of nice, especially in the cold weather. You don't have to get out and
cold. What would be more awkward? Living it, going for your situation where you're going out there and you're waiting on the gas station attendant, or coming to the United States and trying to figure out where's the gas station attendant?
It's probably harder and more awkward to come to a place where you have to do it yourself. Because what if you don't know how to do it?
Or you don't know what all the gases are?
Yeah. Oh, I have that moment every time I rent a car. You have that moment of fear of what kind of gas am I supposed to put in this car? And is it labeled correctly? Because sometimes they'll really scare you. Make sure you only put super, and they really make it bad. But I can't imagine, you have to put gas in your car and not knowing. And not all gas stations are consistent. Sometimes you flip the thing up. You flip that, whatever that's called, that lever up. Other times you just push the button. I mean, they're not all the same. Sometimes you pay right there. Sometimes you have to go in.
Or we've got biofuels very popular here in the Midwest, but that's not really like 88 is not really available all around the country.
I would think that would be more scary. How do you know when your tank is full?
Yeah.
Well, we know that because it clicks and we know to set the little, I don't know technology associated with gas pumps, but when the little piece hits the little ridge, it'll turn off by itself.
It's actually an air. It's like an airflow thing. If you were to cut, gas station pumps fascinate me.
Words I've never heard anyone say.
Well,
okay.
If you look at the engineering of them, it's like pressure, air pressure that gets those to stop.
Okay.
And they're just it's just one of those cool, you think everything is run by electricity and then you learn when things aren't run by electricity. It's so cool. The physics behind it.
I don't know when that I don't know when that knowledge is going to become useful again, but at some point we're going to want to tap into that wealth of fascination.
I know.
You.
I know that, cats don't have sweet tooth.
or is it sweet teeth?
I know that weird. OSC is sugar.
Mm-hmm. And this, know a lot about this.
Yeah.
Have you ever pulled away from a gas station pump with the pump still in your
tank?
With
the pump still in? No.
I have. That is a scary experience.
They are made
you will
to
never
detach,
do it again.
Though.
Because people pull away. Because people forget. Yeah. You only do that one time in your life. And then every other time you look back one last time to make sure it's not still sitting there. Yeah. That's a scary noise.
I did leave with my like little latch open, but I don't have a cap. So it was like,
okay.
Wasn't that big of a deal. I got out at a red light and was like really mad at myself because I saw it in my mirror. I was like, how did I not see this before I pulled out? But so I got out at a red light and closed it and stomped back into my car.
Yeah, they are made to detach because people forget.
I imagine at one point they were not.
Right. Everything is there for a reason, and that's probably why. Okay, number two on this list is arcade attendant. They were the people that fixed the jammed coin slots, enforced no leaning on the pinball machine rules, I forgot about that, and handed out the last few precious prize tickets, like Willy Wonka golden passes. I don't ever remember having an arcade attendant. The only time I ever played arcade games was at the roller rink, and they had bigger problems, like what was going on on the roller rink than getting your coin unjammed from pinball or whatever it was.
6-year-olds falling and breaking their nose on the rink.
Yeah. What about toll booth collector? In your lifetime, like, do you...
Kansas just went to automatic.
Okay.
When I would go out there, I had to. I didn't get the little tag, so...
Okay, so you've actually had to do that manually. Now, so many, even if they have a person standing there, so much of it is no cash. So much of it is just drive through, and they'll bill you.
Yeah, like
based on your license plate. Let's see. Video rental clerk is on here. Back when we had video stores.
Yeah, Blockbuster.
Like a Blockbuster or Family Dollar or whatever. You would walk in, $2.99.
That one was a part of my childhood. Because Blockbuster, going in and renting PlayStation 2 games. Because you'd have a huge wall of nothing, but this was back when like indie developers were still, and you just have a wall of nothing but PlayStation 2 games. And so, that was a big thing. I'm sure my dad still owes Blockbuster some money.
I remember when you would go in and they would only have, some movies they would have one copy of, some movies they would have two copies of, and some they'd have three copies of, and they would be out. They would still have the little sign that showed you what the movie was, that was the size of a VHS tape, and then you would pull that out and realize, no, they're all out of them. It was a big deal to get one of the copies, or you could reserve the copies ahead of time.
Put it on hold like a book at the library.
Yeah. And then they would call you when it was available, and some people would return it late, and then you wouldn't have it in time for the weekend if you wanted it. And then they would fine you if you didn't rewind it before you returned it. And that was a big thing. If you didn't return it, rewound.
Redbox was a big thing. When those started to go around, we used to do that a lot because it was like $1 for whatever movie just came out, and you could just watch it, and then
is that 24 hours? Is Redbox usually?
I think it was 24 hours, or you could get like the extended, like rental where you could do it for a couple of days.
There are still a few Redboxes around. In fact, I believe there is a Redbox outside a gas station near me. I think there's one on Warnell that has a Redbox outside.
That was really cool when it first came out.
Yeah, and they used to have them in grocery stores.
They were, the Price Chopper in Liberty. Mm-hmm. They had it right there, and it was, hey, it's Friday night, we did our grocery shopping, let's, $1 for a movie.
Yeah. Yes. Were you ever a paper boy?
I was not.
I can't believe I'm gonna ask this. Did you guys get the paper when you were young? Are you young enough that you wouldn't have gotten the paper?
I think it was just like the Liberty Tribune. I don't think it wasn't anything that fancy.
Okay. That was when the paper would come in the morning before breakfast. And that was a job that it was always boys that had that job of riding being the paper, because they'd have to get up early in the morning.
Yeah, riding their little bikes.
And go deliver papers riding their little bikes. Yes. Yeah. And they'd have the big bag and they'd toss it. It was always a thing if they, if it landed somewhere where it shouldn't or got wet, then they came in the blue bag so they wouldn't get wet. And then it just went to Sunday only.
We used to blow the bags up.
Yeah, and pop them.
Yeah, just fill them full of air.
Yeah,
and
that was a fun thing always to do. Someone just texted and said, someone that helped you try on shoes. Yeah, when you would go into a shoe store and there was a person.
No, thank you.
The look on your face. That was a thing. You would just sit down and somebody would come up and they would measure your foot. There was that big metal thing. They still have it, but it would measure your foot. And then they would go and get you. They would go and get you shoes based on the actual size of your foot.
No,
that was something we liked.
That's what my mom's for. you know?
Your mom?
Yeah, my mom. That was, now I'm to the point now where I know I have shoe brands that I like. I know they fit. I know what size. I don't have to go into a shoe store anymore.
Lucky you. I have wide feet. I always have to try on shoes. It's painful. I hate it. I don't like the experience because they never fit. I don't know that I want somebody else sharing in that pain. I think I want to have that pain all by myself and not have to go through that with somebody else.
Yeah, it's depending on what brand it is. I wear a size 12 or a 13.
Okay.
I know that.
There's no consistency.
Well, I think that's just a, I think that's just a women's problem where your clothes are not
consistent.
Universally sized.
Yes. Same thing with jeans. Yes. You guys get to have the special two numbers.
We
don't get to have that.
I went into an American Eagle store one time with my girlfriend, mm-hmm. and sympathy forever.
Yeah. Not only do we not get to have the two numbers like you guys do, because that would be simple. There are a few brands of women's jeans that do that, but most don't. Not only do we not have that, but then there's not a consistent numbering system that makes any sense. There are negative sizes. Yes.
That's not okay.
Yes. And then juniors. Women's sizes are labeled in even numbers, and then you get into plus size after I think it's 14 becomes plus size. Junior sizes are labeled as odd numbers, just to make, as if we wouldn't know the difference, as if we wouldn't be able to look at the jeans and go, yeah, that belongs on a 10-year-old, not a 45-year-old woman probably. But yes, that used to be more of a thing. Somebody said bathroom attendant. We only have those now in like high upscale hotels. Otherwise, there's no use for a bathroom attendant.
I don't need that in my life either.
Yeah, I think this entire list is just the addition of people that you wouldn't want, that you, Quentin, would not want to interact with.
Yeah.
These are more people to help you do things that you just would absolutely not want to have.
I don't want to be walking out of the bathroom and some dude like spray me with a cologne.
Is that what they did?
Right? They like had the hand towel and be like, you want a spray? No, I'm good. I'm not in the Macy's.
Okay. Have you ever had film developed? Actual film?
Have you always had
a digital camera?
We had a film X-ray machine when I first started working at the animal hospital.
Okay.
We had a dark room and everything.
But not, you've never taken a Kodak camera and taken the film out to Walgreens and had them.
Yeah.
That's never been a part of your life?
I've done that, but that was like when I was like probably six.
Yeah, that went away quite a while ago. But that used to be really exciting because you had a limited number. Was it 32? You could get the big roll of film where you could take 32 pictures, but the standard was 24. Or you could get it rolls of 12. And that was it. Once you ran out of pictures, you were out of pictures.
And you didn't know what you had.
Until you had them developed. And then you got them back. And if you moved while you were taking the picture, too bad.
And everybody's eyes were red.
Yes. And you would get the negatives a lot. And if you wanted more copies of any of those pictures, you'd have to mark the little pencils and you would get more copies. Some of you have no clue what we're talking about.
When I was a kid, I had the camera, the like instant camera, and then you had to like shake the,
oh yeah.
I don't even know what that's called.
I don't know either. Yeah, you're right. I don't know what that was called either. It's always exciting, especially if you're around my age, when you're going through boxes you haven't looked in a while and you find old rolls of film that need to be developed still. And it's, I don't even know, I think there are a couple places in town where you can still do that, but otherwise you have to send it off. It takes a month before they get it back to you.
Yeah, you have to
mail it. It's more expensive now
to someplace
to have that done. All right, we have some of these coming in. 913-586-7798. What are the jobs that you miss that you wish people had? Did you have any of those jobs? We'll get to more of that coming up. Welcome in. We were talking about the jobs that have gone away that you miss. That got us onto a conversation about the person that would develop your film. And then you were describing something that I don't remember the shaking part, but 50 people on the text line knew we were talking about an instant Polaroid camera. I don't remember the shaking part where you had to shake it to get it to do its thing.
I just remember doing that. I don't know. Maybe you didn't have to do it, but it was just one of those things. It's like if you owned a video game console with a cartridge, you know, if it didn't work, you blow into it and it would work. Even though that's not
same thing with like an ink cartridge for your printer.
Blowing in it does nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just you turned it off and turned it back on. That's how you fixed it. So
yeah.
It might just be one of those things that it was an urban legend.
Yeah. So that was where you lost me. But yeah, that was just a novel idea that the print just came out right away and you had your picture.
And it like took a second to like show up.
Yeah. Yes. Because it appeared it was faded at first. And then if you waited and you could shake the picture and somehow that made it go faster.
But maybe it didn't.
But maybe it didn't. Yes. 913-586-7798. Ron has called us up out of Leawood. How's it going, Ron?
Oh, very good. How are you?
Well, thanks.
Hey.
What do you think?
I was telling your guy back in the 90s, 75th and Metcalfish, there was a video store called Beyond Video. A lady named Vicky owned it. It was, you know, independently owned, but I spent some time there as a video clerk and actually had a pretty good time. It was a second job. I was working for another company called Dickinson Theaters at the same time, and I just remember enjoying interacting with the people and, you know, whatnot.
What?
There's another job I mentioned that I did summer of 86, Tahoe at Harrah's as a CPO, change jackpot payoff person, which they don't have at any of the casinos anymore. I used to walk around in an apron filled with quarters, half dollars, and dollars selling to people, you know, playing the slots.
Selling tickets? Selling what?
No, selling coin. One, I remember Howie Mandel was playing a dollar machine, and I was carrying around rolls of dollars to sell to the people. Now you just use your card or whatever, put your money in, and it does credits.
But okay.
Back then, you know, you had to buy your coin from somebody walking around selling it.
This is all news to me. I didn't know that job existed even.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a good time.
Cool. Good memories. Thanks a lot, Ron. Appreciate you getting in. I'm going to try to get one more in here. We'll see. We'll see what she has to say here coming up in a second. Yeah, some of you were texting in about, a lot of you were going on about the Polaroids, that it was because they were wet. The picture itself was wet, and that you would shake it. You would shake the picture to try to dry it off. You'd wave the picture to help the chemicals, and it would make it perhaps go faster, to try to develop faster. There are a couple of places where you can still develop film in town. There's a place on 95th Street that apparently will do that still. I still have, I have boxes and boxes of pictures still that still have the negatives with them that I just don't want to throw away, because you never know if that's going to be something I'm going to want at some point. Christy knows more about the cameras than we do. Hey, Christy.
Well, boy, you're really aging me, aren't you?
No, believe me, I'm not young. So no, not at all.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, I knew that there was a song, and so I kind of Googled it, and there's a song, artist is Outkast, Outkast, and the song is Hey Ya, and most of the song is like, shake it, shake it, shake it like a Polaroid picture. And I know when I used Polaroids, you really didn't have to shake it, but it was a way that you didn't really have to it was a way to waste time for that 1 minute that you had to wait until it actually, you know, became a picture.
Yeah, the illusion of making it go more quickly.
Yeah, and then the other thing was the black and white ones, which was predating the shake it like a Polaroid picture. It actually came with a really stinky little, it was like a little tube that had this stuff in it that you had to wipe it across the photo once you got finished, you know, once it developed itself. So
yeah,
it was like a high, like ammonium smell and stuff.
Christy, I got to let you go because the music means we are out of time, but thanks for the education about that. Coming up, we will talk to Harvesters. Elizabeth Kiever will join us, talk more about their needs coming up this season next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.